Again, thank you for joining. Good evening. Happy Monday. Happy January 13th. We're 1 week away from inauguration. I received my ticket. I would love to cover the farewell for President Biden and First Lady and Vice President Harris and Second Gentleman. I also would love to cover the departure of President Biden and the First Lady. You know, this very famous departure on Marine One from the South Lawn at in the White House. And so, but because this happens after the oath, they will be, as I was told, guests at that point. So they do not decide who is going to cover it. So I'm fighting to be there and have access to cover their departure, which I don't see much media doing that. So I really want to focus on that as well. And also for them to have a good experience, you know, not to overthink my contribution to it, but I really would love to cover it and, you know, have that gracefully depicted for you so you can be part of it. Because I think mainstream media will be focusing really on the new administration at that point. So we'll see how I can get this arranged, because at that point, Biden administration has no access. Also, from now on, you know, if that's of an interest to you, press pools, we're not receiving any emails anymore. We have to go to a website to see it. If somebody wants to join press pool, it's all 404, you know, like page not found, essentially. So all this new, the older, right, the Biden administration press releases and everything is sort of like slowly disappearing, which is very unfortunate and very early too. Usually it takes about a month or even longer to transition. And then, of course, at 12:01, also the social media, the usernames will switch. POTUS will become Trump's username and FLOTUS, of course, Melania Trump, and then POTUS, I think 47 or 46 will be then Biden's, and FLOTUS 46 will be Dr. Jill Biden. So, but before we move on, this is something very new. So just 58 minutes ago, Stellantis, Delta, and Hyundai each donated $1 million to Trump's inaugural fund. I think they learned from McDonald's. I have a readout for you, what happened to McDonald's today, and they did not donate that $1 million. So I guess this all comes at a price. At this point, they will not be getting any seats at the inauguration. They were sold out for 500,000 to a million. It's sold out, so they're not going to get anything pretty much for it. And they're joining this group of folks or companies like Boeing, General Motors, Ford, Microsoft, Amazon, Alphabet, which is Google parent company, and Facebook parent Meta. And so now we're getting this. So let's see. Let's see how this will go. I posted the lineup of the events starting on the 18th. There will be the MAGA victory rally on the 19th at this stadium where they play WNBA and NBA games and NHL games in Washington, D.C. Of course, everything is gated. Everything is very much secure. And followed by the events on the 20th. On the 20th, they have, of course, first the prayer. Then there's a breakfast at the White House. This is sort of new. I guess this comes from Biden administration because they're still in charge from that point on. Hence my sort of thing, like, where can I be and who decides if I can be there? But more to that throughout the week, I'm sure we'll get some updates. And then, of course, the ceremony, the oath, and then parade. And there's like a military parade with 7,500 people. And it all ends with three different balls at the same time, where Trump will be delivering remarks everywhere. Also, Peter Thiel is hosting a ball this week in Washington, D.C. It will be a crypto ball. I'm not invited. I don't know what will be there, but probably you can guesstimate. Also, in the most recent news is that, 13 minutes ago, Trump said that he wants to meet with Putin very quickly. He did not provide a timeline for the meeting, but it needs to be very quickly. Okay. All right. So now to the news that I did prepare. The Department of Defense today expressed pride in the Navy's decision to name two future Gerald R. Ford class aircraft carriers after both presidents, President Clinton and President W. Bush. So George W. Bush. President Biden announced today that the carriers will be named the future USS William J. Clinton and the future USS George W. Bush. These ships will honor the legacies of both presidents who served with determination and dedication and will serve as lasting tributes to their leadership. The aircraft carriers will play a key role in safeguarding national security and inspiring future service to the country. So it's a very noble gesture. Thankfully, you know, this is happening now, and certainly President Biden is taking time for it. I did report the news in the newsletter format and also across the socials throughout the week. So I hope you saw that also President Biden gave the Presidential Medal of Freedom with honors and to Pope Francis. We can decide, you know, whether it was deserved or not. I'm really questioning his stance on Ukraine. But that aside, President Biden did call him because he had to cancel his trip to Italy because of the wildfires in California, on which he's briefed daily. So for this reason, it was done on the phone, so to speak, and then he will be receiving his medal, Presidential Medal of Freedom, I guess. Not USPS, but delivered. And now at this point, outgoing President Joe Biden highlighted today his foreign policy achievements. So he went to State Department. Per usual, he held a farewell speech where he pretty much depicted a picture of clarity and reality. That when sort of everything hit the fan with Russia invading Ukraine, he had to gather the union, he had to unite 50 allies. All of those allies had to wake up and invest in their defense. NATO had to be woken up or awoken, right? And at this point, Russia is weak. Our adversaries are weak, right? Iran is weak through Hezbollah and Hamas. And the Middle East situation and the fall of Bashar al-Assad's regime. Also in the Indo-Pacific, China did not try to invade Taiwan. And it's a strong coalition that Biden certainly can account to his own accomplishments. And so he did speak on that today at the State Department in his farewell speech. Now, this will be followed by a farewell speech at Pentagon on Thursday. I tried to cover it. They say no press. Don't ask why. I mean, Pentagon is heavily being, or everyone is being interviewed by this DOGE department. The matter is loyalty. State Department, Pentagon workers are constantly interviewed daily. By the DOGE representatives that come, you know, in the face of David Sachs and all these folks on the matter of loyalty for Trump. And so certainly, I guess they don't want press at this point, which is very disturbing, you know, it's really going against the democracy, if you will. But who am I to judge? Now, on Friday, President Biden will also speak at the Mayor's Association. It will be a very big, it's a four-day conference in Washington, D.C., and he will be holding a speech there on Friday evening. That's the First Lady. Tomorrow, she is in San Francisco, and she will be delivering remarks encouraging to continue investing in women's health, and especially women's health research, which is really close to her heart. And what we found out, that will be sort of the core of attention for the Bidens once they're out of the White House. They will be dedicating their efforts to building out this initiative that they started while at the White House. Now, President Biden also expressed deep sorrow over the loss of 24 lives at this point in the wildfires across Los Angeles, offering prayers for the victims and their families. He acknowledged the widespread devastation caused by ongoing fires in Southern California. Biden highlighted that he's closely monitoring firefighting efforts and has directed federal support, including personnel and aerial resources,
to assist in suppressing the fires. He emphasized his administration's commitment to supporting survivors and combating the fires, especially as wind conditions worsen. So Santa Ana, right, that's what it's called. Please correct me if this is, I'm not from that part of US, so I'm not very much familiar, but the winds are picking up on Monday night right now until Wednesday. So this is really a threat, honestly, because the fires were contained for, I think, about 9%, right? And so this really comes at a disadvantage and a wrong timing at this point. So the president also expressed gratitude to firefighters and first responders for their heroic efforts. Now, meanwhile, Republican U.S. House Speaker Mike Johnson, the Moses, so to speak, he might be dividing the waters, but he can't extinguish fires. Now, he spoke that the Congress should place conditions on aid to Los Angeles communities devastated by wildfires, alleging that the state and local officials in largely Democratic California have mismanaged the state's water resources and forests. Now, I have 3 points to add. First, this is a lie. There was this video where Elon Musk went live today. He wanted to expose the head of the fire department in Los Angeles. And he said, look, you don't have pressure in the fire hydrants. You're pretty much messing up. This is because of you. It's dragging itself out and people are dying. And he said, wait a second. We need about 1,000 gallons for one house. If we will increase the pressure in hydrants, people will be literally blown out, right? You will open, water, or like you try to get tap water or whatever, you'll be blown out because the pressure will be too high. So you need to maintain the pressure that is relevant for entire area. So for that reason, they have mobile hydrants that have about 5,000 gallons in them, and they're driving them up to the location where the fire department is using it. So it is a lie about the water pressure. Also, it does not, at this point, yes, it is very much connected to electricity, but they're not shutting down electricity, which also President Biden sort of assumed, and that's why the pressure is low. The pressure is not low. It is managed, of course, by electricity, but it's not in the areas where it can be blown up because of the fire. So bottom line, it is a lie, and it has absolutely no substance to continue this conversation. Also, Governor Newsom, to give him credit, he even put together a website. They launched a website where they're fact-checking all the efforts. And I encourage you to go visit it. And I will add it in your newsletters. So we need to combat disinformation. This is part of what I will be announcing this week. So secondly, Johnson might be reminded or might need a reminder that California represents the fifth largest economy in the world. And if California were to withhold tax payments that are about due, what he's going to get for his fabulous state. California pays $5, gets $1 back. So also, this year is the highest rate of Republicans that voted for Trump or voted Republican in California. It's 5 to 7 million. So are you for everybody? States' rights? What are you talking about? You're just talking. Now, the U.S. Senate Energy Panel said on Monday the nomination hearing for President-elect's nominee, Doug Burgum, will take place on Thursday instead of Tuesday, and they blamed bureaucratic delay with the Federal Ethics Office. Now, what will start tomorrow is the first confirmation hearings for Hegseth, for the head of Pentagon. He also had some delays with FBI. The FBI claimed, or at least the Congress painted the picture as it was too slow, but then it wasn't too deep of a research or investigation into him. So it will now fall on the Congress to ask the questions and see what about him, right? We've heard stories about sexual abuse. We've heard stories about alcoholism. Like, let's see what is true and what his story is. What I did not like is this press release that Trump's team put up today. Let me pull it up because it's very interesting, because why do they include Ukraine in it? It's a press release based on an article. Certainly, it is an article in, what is it called? First Agenda something. So anyway, it's a website about real defense, something of that nature. I posted it on socials. I will add it to a newsletter. What's interesting, though, that they mention, and this article is all about Hegseth and how easy it should be to confirm him, they mention that what we know of Hegseth's public views on major international defense issues indicates that he will be a good fit for blah, blah, blah. Now, his experience in Iraq and Afghanistan has made him skeptical of neoconservative and neoliberal plans to spread democracy throughout the world. Essentially, they're going on to say that since he joined the wars, he saw his friends dying, he's against wars. So for that reason, it has also made him question the wisdom of interventionist policies in places like Ukraine, where the momentum of war and inertia of policy can lead to greater involvement by the United States and a possible war between nuclear-armed great powers. I can tell you one thing. If Ukraine falls, we are facing not one, but two nuclear powers in face of Iran and in face of Russia and, God forbid, China. And if you haven't listened to my interview with the war drone expert, please listen. He updates you on capabilities of China, the motherships, the drones, the Shahed drones, and how fast they can rebuild and utilize it. And he explains whether we are protected or not. It's on YouTube. Go watch it. It's an hour of your time that you will not regret spending on. So protecting Ukraine is part of our national security. And by the way, this war drone expert, who is U.S. military, he fought himself in Iraq, and he was deployed, and he also was deployed in Ukraine in International Legion. And so he explains why it is important for us to protect Ukraine as part of our national security. So not understanding that as a head of Pentagon, it's a huge deal. And also waving, you know, bowing to Russia, not intervening in the conflict. There was an agreement in 1994 where Ukraine was denuclearized in return for protection by United States, by Russia, and by UK. It was signed. So yeah, we do have actually a responsibility based on that. Ukraine was second nuclear power, gave up for this. So you can't say that it's, you know, intervening. Ukraine is being invaded. Sovereign country has been invaded, and people, civilians, are being brutally attacked and killed in masses. North Korea is already a part of it. China is aiding. Iran is aiding. How many countries, you know? So and we put this sentence somehow, we faded into the nomination and approval. That is a bit disturbing. Who wrote this article, really? So, Sierra says, the incoming administration are not smart nor have knowledge of history. They do know their criminal history. Yeah, right, if they still remember, indeed. And that, Sierra, leads to what I'm going to announce this week. We need to learn from mistakes. And we need to learn from history. We need to learn from the best people. And we need to connect the dots with actual news. More on that when I have everything confirmed. So, Ellie Lilly. So remember, we have the Inflation Reduction Act, right? That withholds at this point things like insulin at caps it at $35 a month, right? Thank you, Joe. And Ellie Lilly, that produces this insulin, hates it. To the point where their CEO, David Ricks, has requested that the U.S. government pause price negotiations for prescription drugs, speaking at the J.P. Morgan Healthcare Conference Ricks stated that the Inflation Reduction Act, the IRA, needs to be fixed before the second round of price cut discussions can proceed. We're in it. And we're in it not to win it. Now, a group, a post of two, now this is about McDonald's, okay? So, it's a shit show extraordinaire. Delta, right, we just heard, donated $1 million to this inaugural fund. Bowls and everything. Meta, Amazon, all that, right? McDonald's did not. I mean, probably they donated in burgers, but how many burgers can you eat for $1 million dollars or whatever? So they did not really donate. So what happened today, that a group opposed to affirmative action has filed a lawsuit against McDonald's, alleging that the company did not go far enough in rolling back its diversity initiatives. So somehow, this guy who is very opposing DEI and sort of, he's sort of like an ambulance chaser. He goes against any organizations that are aiding minorities. So his first big lawsuit was against organization that helped Black women. Now he's going against McDonald's. I hope McDonald's can counter sue and probably will win, given the Republican context in the courts, right? The richest one wins. At this point, this is McDonald's by far. And so what they found, that McDonald's still has this program for Hispanic and Latino young employees, right? And so they gave them all together, so it's like a scholarship. You go work for McDonald's, McDonald's helps you to pay your university bills or school, you know, that sort of thing. And they spent $33 million on it. And so they found that McDonald's did not break this yet. DEI, you're going to be sued. So donate $1 million or be targeted. Now, U.S. Special Counsel Jack Smith, who led the federal cases against Trump and on charges of trying to overturn his 2020 election defeat and mishandling of classified documents, has resigned now as Trump is coming in. But what did happen today is that the federal judge on Monday in Florida cleared the way for U.S. Justice Department to publicly release a portion as a Chapter 2. Of former special counsel Jack Smith's report on President-elect Donald Trump's 2020 election subversion case. So essentially, she realized that she's pretty much incapable of withholding it. A little late, and yeah, we'll see. We'll see. Now, Sharon Sprong, remember the fabulous portrait? Now we're back to good news. This is all national news. Then we go to international news. Now I'm separating it. And if you're reading the newsletter, you see it. Makes a bit more sense. Now, remember the beautiful portrait of Michelle Obama at the White House? This one. Beautiful, right? Stunning. So you know who's going to be painted by the same wonderful artist. Her name is Sharon Sprong from Brooklyn. Now, she will be painting the portrait of Treasury Secretary Yellen, Janet Yellen, and Sharon Sprong met already earlier. They took pictures. They figured out what the lighting will be and all that type of stuff. And so she will be painting Janet Yellen's portrait, which is wonderful. Hey, Edward. Hello. Edward says, have you covered the humor of Greenland? Yes, soon. And I have a deep dive. Yes. Does it mean they will be 50 miles inland from when they are now? If the ice melts, it might allow ships to navigate. And what happens to the ports around the world? We'll cover Greenland, not in detail as to melting, but I have been targeted by a lot of MAGA folks this morning who claim that you know, they should be totally joining the United States, and it would be so good for them, so good, so profitable. We'll find out how. Hold on just a second, but great question. Thank you. Now, as part of White House initiative on women's health research, I just told you a bit earlier that First Lady Jill Biden will join the Fierce JPM Week in 2025 in San Francisco. I like the name. Fierce JPM Week. So she will be discussing the importance of advancing women's health research. Now, okay, President Joe Biden now today also announced to MAGA's hate
that his administration would cancel student loans for over 150,000 additional borrowers. The cancellations will target individuals who attended schools that defrauded students, those with permanent disabilities, and public service workers. So this is some good news. Now, another national news, we've spoken about California, we've spoken about wildfires, and President Biden spoke on that. Him and VP Harris are being updated daily. Tomorrow they have this multi-meeting or like multi-agency meeting or interagency meeting, and they will be talking about this and being updated, and he's updating us. Now, what's really interesting and remarkable, of course, Canada and Mexico are helping. I mean, how lucky are we, crazy as we are, not cases, to have such beautiful, wonderful neighbors. Those in the north that say, I'm sorry, and help us still. And we're like, want to impose tariffs and calling their prime minister, governor, and all this nonsense. And also those on the south, right? Claudia Sheinbaum is the woman with the iron balls. But she sends Mexicans to help with fires, to contain the fires. There's planes, there's workers, there's helpers. It's incredible, you know, despite any narrative that the incoming administration tries to portray, they're here and they're here to help. You see here folks arrived from Mexico to help us. Meanwhile, also Canada posted this, not the United States. United States, figure it out. If you haven't done it yet, here's a bit of help. But certainly such a good thing. But also, now this is unexpected, Zelensky. Ukraine's President Zelensky said, quote, today, which was yesterday, he instructed Ukraine's Minister of Internal Affairs and diplomats to prepare for the possible participation of rescuers, Ukrainian rescuers, in combating the wildfires in California. The situation there is extremely difficult, and Ukrainians can help Americans save lives. This is currently being coordinated, and we have offered our assistance to the American side through the relevant channels. 150 of our firefighters are already prepared. And today was the news that they have arrived and they're already helping. So very beautiful gesture, really a country that's 3 years in the war and still thinking and helping, which is wonderful. Now, I have to say, America First critics and the richest man alive, or first lady, I don't know, referred to him as, where are you? What have you done? Have you donated? Aside from mean tweets, tweeting up a storm is not going to help with fires. That's why I posted on Twitter, Shitter. I said, watch the deeds, not the tweets. And I think that will be our motto for the next 4 years. Watch the deeds, not the tweets. Okay? Amen. Edward says, have a feeling attacking our neighbors is more designed to attack NATO. Where will U.S. sell its products if our friends buy them elsewhere or stop buying? I think it is it's a trauma to redirect our attention from the real deal. Because this administration, and I take the administration as one group, ran on the narrative that life is too expensive and is too dangerous. So essentially, you need to lower the grocery prices, right? Remember all the stunts with bacon and all that kind of stuff. So you need to attack that. Plus, you want to make our country safer. Meanwhile, what we're doing is possibly militarily, I mean, according to President-elect, this is a quote, he's not ruling out military action to take away Greenland or Canada or Panama Canal, right? Canada, he said he wants to use economic measures. Now, Panama Canal, it's a military action possible, not ruling this out as well as Greenland. So this is not making us safer. This is not making our life easier or cheaper. Same as imposing 25% blank tariffs is making our life more expensive. So if we were to dive into this, mainstream media were to analyze that and not falling for this okie dokes and the big things, right? We're expanding by force. What does it mean?
I feel that mainstream media is very much in love with the idea of Greenland, and they're like, oh my God, you have balls. Let's talk about your balls. It really doesn't matter what balls are. Do we already have two bases in Greenland? We have one, and it is important. Arctic is very much important. China is messing there. I told you that like half a year ago, that they declared themselves a near Arctic state, which geographically is BS. But through collaboration with Russia, through the icebreakers that they have and we don't really have, and we're really backwards on that, and we have the new program between Canada, Finland, us, and Norway, to create this type of icebreakers and to increase our capability to withhold any type of pressure. So it is an important, very important region for us, but it's not that important to take for Greenland. Also, Greenland is part of NATO through Denmark, and Greenland is independent, but they are sort of semi-dependent on Denmark. They have their constitution, but they can still, it's separate there. So politically, they're dependent on Denmark, constitution-wise, you know, sort of federal rights, if you were to compare it to us. But they can decide on their economy, on the tax, on, let's say, insurance, on, you know, the sort of tangible aspects of life. They can be sovereign in that regard. So there's this semi-dependence, but they're part of NATO. So taking Greenland would cause a huge ha-ha in the NATO world. Same as Turkey, right? Mixing themselves into Syria, pretty much trying to take over Syria. That would also cause a big hoopla in the NATO world, because both Turkey and United States, that is backing up the Kurdish side, are NATO. So see, like, it's really, we don't need that. Let's put it this way. This is the last thing we need, and it's not going to lower our prices, and it's not going to make our life safer. Two major points on which this administration won. That's why when somebody tells me, oh, let's discuss why Harris lost and blah, 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 let's also discuss who won and how and why. Because those two things always go at hand. We can't discuss the loss before or while we're not discussing the win. And the awakening will be very soon, I think sooner than later. And what did happen is pretty much what happened in Russia years ago when business people, here we call them VCs, right? A trendy name. Or trendier name, they are in charge. They are interviewing people. They're deciding what stays and where. The one who is in charge will be deciding what their competitors will be prosecuted for or not, will be accepting deals and ruling on that regard. And that is exactly what happened in Eastern Europe before. And we know how this ended and how it is now. Edward says, also, does incoming administration know it's not really green? Exactly, right? There was this meme where Don Jr., he went there, he recorded this fake video with homeless people. They gave them red hats, and they're like, oh, please join MAGA. You know, they took the hats away. They gave them a warm meal. One guy came from under the bridge, literally, for this video. And then Trump was referring to this video and all that kind of stuff. And then the government of Greenland said, well, but all of this is BS, it's homeless people. So bottom line is, there was a meme where Don Jr. says, oh, I thought it was greener. It's like literally ice. It's ice and then not so many people. So in that regard. Okay, continuing on our national, and then we're going to go into international thing. So Republican allies, speaking of Greenland, of President-elect Trump today in the U.S. House of Representatives are working to gather support for a bill that would authorize talks on purchasing Greenland, according to a copy of the bill circulated to potential co-sponsors on Monday today. So Greenland says, we don't want it, we're not for sale, right? No, I don't want nothing. No, by force, I don't want to go by force. I'm going to fight back. But I want to just say, what does it remind you of? It's when a man wants to dip it and do it with a woman, right? And she says, no, I'm married. No,
or I'm single, I'm happy, I don't need you. But what if I pay you? No. But what if I take you by force? Methods are always same. Subjects change. Now, Cleveland Cliffs, remember the Nippon Steel and the U.S. Steel deal breaking? President Biden said that it's a threat to our national security. And let me tell you why, since we haven't spoken for a week. Japan would have a say on our steel production. Yes, it's national security related, because what if we were to go to war, right? We're facing storm in Europe, Middle East, Indo-Pacific. What if Japan would be controlling our output when it comes to steel? It's important. Plus, Japan is having elections by the end of the year, and guess who's leading there? Far right. So, very much Indo-Pacific related. So for this reason, it is very important for Japan not to have our say on our steel production output. Now, Cleveland Cliffs is teaming up with Nucor to prepare a potential bid for U.S. steel now, according to CNBC. The deal would involve Cleveland Cliffs acquiring U.S. steel in all cash transaction and then selling U.S. steel's Big River Steel subsidiary to Nucor, or however you pronounce it. So then it's all U.S. based. Now, also Nippon Steel has sued Biden administration, saying that they probably have mangled with this Cleveland thing, Cleveland Cliff, and that's why the deal didn't go through, which is not true. It really has legitimate national security concerns. So, and finally, on Monday today, the U.S. imposed sanctions on the extreme right-wing online network Telegram. What a beautiful name, Telegram, designating it a terrorist group for promoting violent white supremacy. The U.S. State Department also named three of the group's leaders as specially designated global terrorists. The group primarily operates on the Telegram social media platform. So, Telegram on Telegram, not a good idea. You see it, close it. Don't engage. Before we go into international news, I want to show you the quote of the day. I thought it was beautiful. This comes from Mark Zandi, chief economist at Moody's Analytics, and they prepared a big report on the economy. So he says, quote, success for the Trump administration would be to do no harm to the exceptionally performing economy it is inheriting. On their face, the planned combination of tariffs, deportations, and deficit-funded tax cuts will do harm. How much? Depends on how aggressively these policies are pursued. And this was in the findings of this report. I will tag it in our newsletter. By the way, if you're not part of it, go to honestnetwork.com and get to the newsletter. Here's the thing, you can copy paste and go ahead. Okay, so as to global news, remember Erdogan, he's also having re-election. He's a dictator. Yes, he's in between. He wants to be part of, not part, but he wants to be near European Union. Turkey cannot join European Union because of women's rights, human rights, but they want to be near and dear. Meanwhile, they're also part of NATO. Turkish army is pretty strong. It's beneficial for NATO to have them, but they also have their ambitions. So he's sort of in between of those chairs. Now, spokesman for Turkish President Erdogan, by the way, somebody who shared, remember, article in our newsletter about their AI control. They stated that the ruling party stated that paving the way for him to run for a fourth term is on the agenda. He emphasized that the key factor in this decision would be whether the people support it. But when dictator runs, he usually wins. Now, Germany, Poland, Britain, France, and Italy will implement as swiftly as possible new NATO targets for weapons and troop numbers. Now, targets is not physical targets that they're going to shoot. Targets in terms of output numbers. Okay? Just clarifying. This was stated by German Defense Minister Pistorius on Monday. He pledged that this is going on. I hope Canada can join them too, because they have a threat. in our face. So now, President Biden also spoke on Sunday, yesterday, with Prime Minister Ishiba Shigeru of Japan and President Ferdinand Marcos Jr. of Philippines to advance the continuing cooperation in the Indo-Pacific. This meeting follows historic trilateral summit hosted at the White House in April 2024. Together, the three leaders discussed trilateral maritime security and economic cooperation, as well as People's Republic of China's dangerous and unlawful behavior in the South China Sea. Now, this is all wonderful. We have to see what's going to happen when Trump comes in. Is he going to renegotiate Taiwan? He's creating this narrative that it is too expensive for us to protect Taiwan. What are we gaining? Nothing. Maybe China should have it. There's also this thing with the incoming Waltz, right? This equivalent of Sullivan, national security advisor, who sort of kind of starts saying that Taiwan, and Musk, by the way, also, that Taiwan was always Chinese and there maybe be like Hong Kong thing. So why shall we even intervene? We'll see. So now, if you are on Twitter, if you're following Musk, you probably have at least received a reminder or two or 100. I don't follow, so I don't get it. But he, Musk, hosted an interview with the AfD. So this is a far-right party leader in Germany. He hosted an interview with her, promoting her for that election. Hence, she was nominated as the leader of the party. AfD never had a chancellor or chancellor, right? And this is the first time. Her name is Alice Weidel. She's a controversial figure. First, she worked for Goldman Sachs, and right? She also studied in China. She graduated in China. She lived in China until 2006, I think from 2001 to 2006. She is gay. She has she lives with a woman, whether they're married or not, I don't know. But the Sri Lanka-born woman is her partner. They have two kids. They're raising kids together. Why am I telling you this story? Because the AfD party is against gay marriage, against rights to adopt children for gay couples, wants to cleanse the German population off of any people of color. It wants to close the borders and also prohibit abortion if they can swiftly get it in. And the leader of that party lives this type of lifestyle. You do the math. Now, the AfD party has now officially nominated Alice Weidel as the candidate for chancellor in the upcoming Bundestag elections. They are fast-forwarded because Scholz failed to secure the vote, right? So the trust vote. And so instead of end of September, now the elections will be in February. Now, Weidel aims to restore Germany's strength, wealth, and safety. Does it remind you on the MAGA? It should. With the key proposal to close the country's borders to migrants. She also advocates for ending the escalation of the Ukraine conflict, suggesting that a meeting between Putin and Trump could help resolve it. Additionally, Weidel calls for the resumption of gas supplies to Russia. So let's give Putin some money, let's lift sanctions, let's let him take Ukraine, for God's sake, and let Trump negotiate it so he gets the hoopla, essentially. Right. So we'll see how Germans will vote. They're very much protesting. They see Musk's influence mixing into their elections through social media. They're talking about prohibiting things like TikTok and also political advertisement. Let's see what will actually manifest. Now, Venezuela condemned new sanctions imposed by U.S., Britain, and European Union on Friday. As you may recall, Maduro declared himself a winner. Meanwhile, Gonzalez actually did win. Countries like U.S. and Britain and France have declared Gonzalez as a legitimate winner, but he had to seek political asylum in Spain. He cannot return. He will be detained. Now Maduro has been inaugurated to lead the country. It's his additional term. Of course, he's supported by Russia. Of course, Russia for that has gold resources,
or their all the savings that they pretty much had have been transported to St. Petersburg in Russia years ago. So for that reason, Putin physically and politically helps Maduro stay in power, whatever this means, by all means, right? At some point in 2009, when Maduro was about to lose, he even was sent this Wagner group, this the Prigozhin group that was very active in Ukraine and also in Africa and currently is leaderless and moneyless and so sort of spreading all around. Recently, we've heard this Wagner fighter crossing U.S. border with the drone and all that kind of stuff as well. So now they condemn the sanctions. The sanctions for now do not involve anything on oil. Now, that is where Maduro would be actually hurt. For now, it's not there. We, meaning reporters, asked John Kirby, the spokesperson for NSC, whether Biden administration considers this. He said, it's not January 20th yet. It doesn't mean we're not going to do it. If they will do it, how long will it last? Will Trump reverse it? Probably. We'll see. Now, Venezuela condemned the sanctions. And also today, Maduro spoke out and says that he wants to liberate Puerto Rico from U.S. influence, declaring that Puerto Rico's freedom is pending. Now, this thing has Russian translations because Russians, you know, they need to know everything. But take a look just how this went. And if you speak Spanish, certainly you will know more than I do. Take a look.
Як на півночі є план колонізації, у нас є план визволення. І цей план нам написав Сімон Болівар. Свобода Пуерто-Рико на черзі, і ми її досягнемо, Брено.
Ukrainian, sorry, I take it back. This translation is in Ukrainian. Thank you for doing it. But the point was, we are going to liberate Puerto Rico. I've heard that from Bolivar. This is what we're going to do. So if he tries to do so, that would be certainly the end of Maduro. So maybe he should. Now, U.S. President-elect Trump and his Middle East envoy, Steve Witkoff, met with Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu. Netanyahu also spoke with Biden yesterday, by the way. So he met with Trump folks on Saturday. On Sunday, Netanyahu spoke with Biden. And they discussed efforts to secure a ceasefire in Gaza, according to Netanyahu's office. Following the meeting with Trump's folks, Netanyahu sent a high-level delegation, including the head of Israeli Mossad, to Qatar to advance talks for the return of hostages held by Hamas in Gaza. Now, I honestly believe, unfortunately, that this will be Jimmy Carter point two, that the hostages will be released as soon as Trump is sworn in. Maybe I'm delusional. And then also, you know, with Trump's help, Netanyahu will roll over Gaza, same as Putin with Ukraine. This is my guesstimation. Again, this is my opinion. Let's separate it from the facts. I read out the facts to you, and please make your opinion accordingly. Now, Denmark recognizes that the United States has security interests in the Arctic and is ready to discuss this with the incoming administration of the President-elect Trump. Danish Foreign Minister Lars Løkke Rasmussen said on Monday. So this, they said that in the morning. And of course, everything exploded with, oh, they want to give us Greenland. No. When they said, we do recognize that you have concerns. That is the same way as Blinken, you know, said that in September of 2021, when Putin said, I'm going to invade Ukraine because I have concerns of NATO. And Blinken and, you know, Biden, they spoke with Putin saying, we acknowledge, okay, you have concerns. Now, we're not expanding NATO, right? Shall we talk? He's like, no, I'm going to invade, you know. So having a conversation first, acknowledging somebody's concerns, and then aiming to satisfy those concerns, right, or eliminate them, explain, have agreements. There's political agreements, there's policies, there's diplomacy, right, before we try to buy somebody or invade someone, right? If we convert that into the dating scenario that I explained to you earlier, You can flirt with someone, send a message, buy a drink, go for dinner, have a few dates before you discuss the slam bam, thank you, ma'am. Or you can take it by force or offer money or, you know, be violent and get what you want. There are stages, right? It doesn't have to be that way. So they want conversation, bottom line. Then they've heard the narrative that no, you know, now we're going to draw a bill, that we're going to buy you. So now they don't want to have the conversation. Now, all five parties, right? Then they held a vote. All five parties of Greenland Parliament opposed Trump's idea to make the autonomous island part of the U.S. per DR. DR is their state media. Quote, I do not want to be part of the United States as Trump suggests, said Marianne Pavisen, spokesperson for the ruling Inuit Ataquatigiit, IA party. I want an independent Greenland. Now, Greenland Prime Minister Maud Egede said on Monday, the country is looking to strengthen its defense and mining ties with the United States, albeit on its own terms, following renewed interest from U.S. President-elect Trump. So first they're like, okay, let's have a conversation. Oh, you don't want to have a conversation? We don't want nothing from you. Oh, you still don't understand? Okay, now we're going to up our defense because now I have to get ready because you're going to take me by force. And all of that is happening within NATO. And now we have a problem. Is that Putin's idea? I bet that is. If this were to happen, nobody will even bother about Ukraine. Nobody will bother about Taiwan and protecting what? We're fighting within each other. We have all this turmoil. So, could that be a thing? Yes, absolutely. So, on Greenland, quickly, some screenshots. That's what this fella kind of prompted me to do some deep dive research. So, bottom line is, Greenland being an autonomous territory in Denmark, policies regarding an individual's free speech carry over, right? Because they said, oh, they don't have freedom of speech. They do. They do have freedom of speech. Also, what they do have is residents of Greenland have the right to health care that is free at point of use, including prescription medicine. However, users pay a proportion of costs for aids like prosthetics and glasses. But they're also entitled to a certain amount of free dental care. Also, their biggest threat is actually weather, environmental hazards. So the point of giving them guns, unless you want to shoot up an icicle, it's not really relevant. And finally, the country's status was changed to an overseas country and territory, OCT, associated with the EU, a dependent territory that has a special relationship with the member state of the EU, Denmark. However, Greenland remains a full member of the Council of Europe and NATO. That's quickly about Greenland. So I don't think they need us. Brandon says Trump will 100% take credit for it. I missed what you're talking about. Edward says also happened with Nixon and Reagan copied with Iran. Yes. Oh, you guys talking about the hostages. Yes. Yes. And yes. Absolutely. So to South Korea, right? Remember, they had a prime minister who declared martial law, canceled it out. People protested. He was impeached for that. Then they had another one did not go along with investigating the previous one. For that, he was impeached. Now they have a third one since December 3rd. And 48 hours into his job, he faced this big tragedy that killed 179 people in the plane. Okay, catch you up. Now, the South Korea's impeached president, Yoon Suk-yeol, that's the first one, will not attend the first formal hearing of the trial to determine if he is removed from office or reinstated because of concerns about his safety, Yonhap News reported, citing his lawyer. Also, he and his team has a new saying that they printed everywhere. Guess what it is? Stop the steal. And he also said that once Trump is in office, he will help him. I don't know how, but that's what it is. And the latest message was that the trial has begun. They're a bit far ahead from us. So Tuesday, the trial has begun. Now, the Italian justice minister has filed a request to revoke the arrest of an Iranian businessman detained in Milan, who was wanted by the United States on suspicion of involvement in a drone strike against its forces, the justice ministry said on Sunday. Now, this was part of conversation when Biden were to go to Italy. So I guess this will, Blinken was just in Italy, so probably talked about it. And Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai urged Muslim leaders on Sunday, yesterday, to back efforts to make gender apartheid a crime under international law and called on them to speak out against Afghanistan's Taliban over its treatment of women and girls. Really long overdue. And European foreign ministers will meet at the end of January to discuss the lifting of sanctions on Syria, the EU foreign policy chief said on Sunday in Riyadh, ahead of a meeting of top Middle Eastern and Western diplomats and Syria's new foreign minister, which is an interesting thought because we have a recognized terrorist organization leading Syria now. And they're sort of like, Trickily, it's a new word, like tremendous. Russia had two bases, big Navy base, big Air Force base in Syria. Got cut off, Russia had to flee pretty much. Now this HTS, the guy who called himself Al-Jilani, their leader, he's now Al-Shara. He's selling those bases back to Russia, essentially. So he is still dealing with Russia. He is pro-Turkey. He is anti-Kurds. And Kurds are those who are literally holding ISIS fighters in jail and not supported by the U.S. So lifting sanctions from Syria, which will advance Syria and Syria's position to navigate, right? And Iran tries to mix themselves in. Let's see how that will go. Now, in other news, lastly, on this international thing, Hungary plans to hold talks with regional allies to counter the impact of higher oil prices resulting from new round of U.S. sanctions on Russia's oil and gas sector, Hungarian Foreign Minister Péter Szijjártó said on Sunday. So Hungary, of course, led by Orbán, Putin's puppet, very much together with Slovakia and Fico, are very much upset that Zelensky did not extend the deal. The deal expired to use Ukraine as a transfer country to buy Russian gas. And so Zelensky did not extend the agreement. So it stopped at 7 a.m. local time on January 1st. And he's not interested to be the country that facilitates Russian income, right? Or their budget. So now they're trying to get, to use other resources, you know. And today, by the way, on Twitter, Zelensky has been openly fighting with Fico. He's like, come to Kiev, talk to me, you know, let's find the deal. Why are you going to Putin and that type of stuff? So let's see what this will result in. What I wanted to talk about, do I have these pictures here? Or do I not? Probably let's leave it for tomorrow. Worldwide weirdness. That's what I wanted to talk about. There is Charlie Kirk talking about the sex tunnels and Fox News getting community noted and Musk getting checked by Newsom. I'll upload it. I'll show it to you tomorrow. It's really relevant. It's kind of interesting. A video, though, I wanted to show you. Remember Pivot Podcast? I often refer to them. I really recommend you to watch them, honestly. It's hosted by Professor Galloway, Scott Galloway. He's professor at NYU, accomplished businessman, very straightforward. He was just on CNN. He was just on Morning Joe, straightening them up, so much so that they had to go to commercial and kick him out of this. He's going to talk about it. And Kara Swisher, who has interviewed and worked for Washington Post, but also she talked and covered Musk and the entire Silicon Valley story for decades. They talked about Zuckerberg removing fact-checking and also altogether what is happening And why is it happening? I want to show you a snippet. I think it's going to be like 3-4 minutes or so. Let's take a look. It's really, really useful. I want you to listen to it. I really thought that this was an interesting input because I don't cover Silicon Valley. I have my opinion about Zuckerberg. I think Zuckerberg would have been very liberal if Kamala Harris were to win. And now he is very MAGA because Trump won. You know, that's sort of my idea of him. But let's see what they think. Share screen. Let me pick this up. And I have it prepared. So I'm going to click play. So let's listen to it.
God, because you went on Morning Joe and had quite a moment. I did the same thing over on the BBC, on the Beeb in London. But go ahead. Tell me your thoughts.
We're moving to the keys to a thriving democracy are threefold. You have to have strong institutions that people respect. You have to have shared stories that we're the good guys and we won World War II for the right reasons and Americans' hearts are in the right place and believe in the founding fathers and the rights of people. And you also have to have kind of a lot of social capital within smaller networks, whether it's your church or your neighbors, or maybe you served, you know, how you feel about people who also mm-hmm. served in the Marines or whatever it might be. And slowly but surely, social media is eroding all of those things. And this is just another example of how those three things will continue to come down and be eroded. You have somewhere between a half and two thirds of Americans, depending on their age, now get their news from social media. Mm-hmm. And today, when I was on Morning Joe, I called Trump an insurrectionist and a rapist. Mika had to stop the show and say that Trump was found liable for sexual abuse. Now, mm-hmm. imagine in contrast what you're going to be able to say about anything, health, elections, what you should do when a fire breaks out in the Pacific Palisades mm-hmm. on Meta. I mean, we are all separating further and further. And to think that this doesn't have not only implications around candidates or politics, but violence. Look what happened in 2017.
Myanmar, everything.
There was violence against the Rohingya in Myanmar. And a year later, there were rumors circulated on WhatsApp, unfettered, and people were being pulled out of cars in mm-hmm. small towns in India and hanged because of rumors around kidnappings. Mm-hmm. I mean, this, remember Pizzagate? That started on social media. So 4 years ago, he called it moderation. Now they call it censorship. And I got to give it to the guy. I do think he's a brilliant businessman. He said, okay, this guy has threatened to put me in jail. I'm going to turn chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad and come up with a way to please him and potentially reduce up to $5 billion of costs in the safety and security team. The move to Texas is actually not political. It's a means of quiet firing 30 to 60% of the staff because they won't move. And if you take, say he saves three or four of that $5 billion, it trades at a P of 30.
He's talking about
30 times four, 120 billion, owns 50. He just made another $18 billion while managing to kiss Mark Zuckerberg's ass. And
no, Donald Trump's ass.
I'm sorry, excuse me. While managing to kiss even more.
No one wants to kiss Mark Zuckerberg's ass.
Okay. And just a larger point here, and the point I made on Joe Scarborough as I broke in my indignant self, mm-hmm. preachy self. My question is the following. Where are the fucking men? Where are the men that recognize, okay, I've made tens of billions of dollars here. I lead a remarkable life. My kids have incredible opportunity. I have a broader selection set of mates than I deserve. People laugh at my jokes.
I get to dress like this.
I'm going to live 5 or 10 years longer than most people. I get to do remarkable things because of this operating system called America and the blessings of America, and yet I have abso-fucking-lutely no fidelity to those values. No. What is the point of having this much money and this much power if you have to bend the knee to a kleptocrat?
But it's more than that. Let me do my little rant now, because it's more than just bending the knee. Of course he's doing it in his self-interest and his business interest, which is always, someone was like, I think it was on Piers Morgan. He's like, are you surprised? I'm like, no, this is what he's like. This is what I've told you he's like. I wrote a piece in the New York Times where I was like, this guy is the most dangerous person on the planet. Like he is amplified and weaponized everything. And then he doesn't want to take responsibility. Let me tell you, I've talked to a lot of people inside Facebook and Meta, they are sick to their stomach, Mark, just so you know. I know Joel Kaplan is kissing your ass to get the job that he got, but let me just be clear. So many people called me this past week. The first person who was this first PR person was like, we got to get off Threads now. Like, I've had so many calls. Sick to their stomach seems to do it. And they should be sick to their stomach because you are a sad and shameless weather vane. In four more years, if the Democrats take over, you're going to shift again because that's what you do. You have no values whatsoever. And I thought Will Ramos did a great piece in the Washington Post, in all places, where he goes, Mark Zuckerberg cited a cultural tipping point to justify dumping fact checks and relaxing hate speech rules. Meta ending fact checks in the U.S. made headlines, but the real ballgame here is a broader repudiation of the idea that a company is responsible for bad stuff on its platform. As Zuckerberg puts it, bad stuff. Mark, you don't bad stuff. What he thinks he's going to like stub a toe. These people, you put people in danger. The company never really wanted that responsibility, and Trump's election allows them to shrug it off. And they never wanted to.
Right. So you can watch it again. It's a Pivot podcast. This is just a little part about Zuckerberg. But certainly I do like listening to people that are knowledgeable and wise and experienced in certain areas where I'm not, so I can learn. So if this is of any interest to you, I strongly recommend. Bonnie, good evening. Good evening, Bonnie. Good evening. Okay. I know I bothered you enough and I delivered so many news that probably your head is like, is this round? Is it square? So go to the newsletter, which will be sent right as we finish here. Just have to click send, where I talk about, in addition to all this, I also talk about U.S. announcing AI expert controls and diffusion rule to strengthen national security and economic leadership. So, sounds fancy, but we have 20 countries that are our allies, right? And you can name them, like, I have them here. Britain and Italy and France and of that kind, Netherlands and all that. Also, we have those that are our adversaries. And so now, if a company, let's say Saudi Arabia, wants to invest in the United States, $20 billion, like they just shook hands with Trump, to build a database that Saudis will run in various states. But if they want to, well, they call it employment opportunity, all that kind of stuff, but it's a national security issue. So now the rule is that they have to get licensed first, meaning they have to see or show what they will be using the chips for, right? Chips orders involving up to 1,700 advanced GPUs, typically placed by universities, medical institutions, and research organizations for non-threatening purposes, will no longer require licensing. Meanwhile, adversaries will have to provide exact licensing. To get licensing, they have to provide what they're using this for, what are those databases for, is it a threat to us or not? And so depending on that, they will be either let in or out, which is a huge deal. This is done together with the UK. I really would encourage you to go read it. It's short, but you can dive in and understand what it's about. Also, there's a readout on Biden talking to Netanyahu and Biden also talking to the Americans, families of Americans detained by Taliban of ongoing efforts and their release, and Trump advisor talking about diplomatic resolution in Ukraine war and the call between Trump and Putin that they're anticipating, and also about Romanian presidential elections. So it's really interesting. Remember, TikTok played a huge role. They declared the first round of the election fraudulent. Now they have somehow foreign state-sponsored protests demanding to count that election, to count that pro-Russian guy as a legitimate winner. This is coming through somebody's influence. I'll let you figure out the rest. But the readout, this is in your newsletter tonight. I don't want to bother you with longer stuff, but
And also I added some new things like quote of the day, picture of the day, also today in history. You know, you learn like things like Lyndon Johnson appointed first African-American cabinet member in 1966 today and so on. Also, Michael Jordan retired for the second time in 1999. So go ahead, read it. Let me know what you think about it. The audio version of this will be as a podcast. So if you couldn't catch this and are out of the door tomorrow, plug in whatever, you know, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, whatever, you can listen to it. If you want to watch, YouTube is your best bet. And I will see you tomorrow at 8 p.m. Eastern. And we'll stick to our evening times, which I think will be much better given the new administration, again, where they wake up and figure out what they want to do that day. So mornings will be less efficient. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you so much for watching and listening and being here with me. Please go ahead, honestnetwork.com. There's the newsletter. It's free. Go read it. And I will update you on our big plans throughout this week. And we'll see if I will be there, you know, covering Biden's departure. Skyman's fall is evening better. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I believe so. At least I have news and I don't have to like scrambling at 5 a.m. What haven't I told you yet? So I think it's more organized. Okay. All right. Take care of yourself. Good night. Yes. Good night, everybody. Or good morning, whenever you're listening or watching this. And thank you, Callie. Thank you, Skyman's Follies. Thank you, Brandon. Evening's definitely better. Good. Perfect. Okay. Thank you, Brandon. Thank you, Bonnie. Thank you, Edward. Thank you, Sierra. Thank you. Who's there? And everybody who commented, thank you so much for being here. Have a peaceful night. And I will see you tomorrow evening. And throughout the day, I update you on socials, on mainly Blue Sky, but also on X. I post some neutral updates there. So go take a look. All right. Thank you for being here. See you tomorrow. Have a good night.